today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I follow the Lord. Yeah, I believe in Jesus," is necessarily following him. He says, "But it's the one who does the will of my Father. That one is following me." Like I said earlier, I think we're going to be surprised when we get to heaven at those who did not end up in heaven and at those who may have ended up in heaven because of the grace of God. Some are very, very spiritual. They just sound so spiritual.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
As Pastor Troy continues his teaching through the Gospel of Matthew, he will be sharing with us that there are not only false prophets, but there are also false followers. You may have the Christian lingo and sound super spiritual and be ritualistic, but you may not be saved. You must be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 20, as we join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled, "Do Not Be Deceived."
The fruit of the Spirit, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Is there self-control in the people? Are they learning this discipline? Not only the fruit of the Spirit, but is there a conformity to God's Word taking place in the people's lives? God's character. Do you see God's character more and more in the lives of the followers? God's character? Yes. Purity. A lifting up of holiness and purity. That's the idea of being set apart. Being set apart for God's usefulness and glory. A clean instrument. Not tainted by being involved and mixed into the affairs of the world and the love of the world. As the leader living above the people. In other words, poor church, wingtips, nice vehicle. But here's why I have the nice vehicle and the wingtips, to show you that if you follow the Lord, look what you can have. Now you poor people, give! Give to the Lord! Sow your seed! See, that is not the heart of the Lord. We need to be very careful. Look at the leader. Are they serving? If they hammer you with serving, are they serving? Are they a servant? Do they preach it or do they teach it? What I mean by teaching it is, are they an example? And Peter, he said, "Shepherd the flock among you, not lording over them, telling them what to do, commanding them, but being an example." Be an example to the people. Is that what they're doing? You will know them by their fruits. Financial responsibility. Integrity. Financial integrity. More ministries go down as a result of financial unintegrity or irresponsibility than anything. It's why churches have a hard time getting loans today. I didn't know if you know that. You think, "Oh, that's God's people." Yeah, well, God's people aren't trusted with money because they're financially irresponsible. So is there a responsibility? Are they being modest? Are they glorifying God? Are they paying their bills? Those kinds of things. Those are important. Is the leader controlling? In other words, lording over the people. Is he trying to control you? I mean, some will go so far as to tell you you shouldn't do anything without talking to them first. You know, don't do... Now, like Mike, he's our assistant pastor, and he just can't run amok in the church. There's an order there. But I'm talking about, I mean, just the normal person who comes in, they want to get married. Don't get married until I tell you, I'm your shepherd. I'm overseeing you. I got to protect you. Don't do anything without talking to me. We have to be very careful of personalities like that. Teaching is very, very important. Very important, and a high accountable position and responsibility. James said in James 3:1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive stricter judgment. There is a higher level of accountability and responsibility for teaching and for what you teach and how you teach and how you are an example in your teaching. We try to have high standards for positions of teaching and influence. Faithfulness is good, but faithfulness isn't the only quality that is good. There are some who are faithful because they have the gift of helps. They're faithful, but you don't want to lay hands on them and make them a pastor. Faithfulness is not the only qualification for putting someone up in certain positions. Calling, gifting, responsibility, lifestyle, all of these things are to be considered when you make someone a leader, when you make them an example, when you make them an influence. So I try to protect the pulpit out of consideration for you. I try to protect the pulpit. I want to make sure that I know the people and not take too many chances on just letting anyone have the mic, because I've seen what happens. And we have to be very careful. We have parenting classes, but we would not have parenting classes if the people who wanted to teach it didn't have good kids. We've seen the fruit of their lives, and we see the fruit as they've taken on a whole other challenge. They should, you know, their kids are grown up and would be out of the house, but they've got a whole new batch now, 5 of them. And they're raising them up, and we also see the transformation in those kids' lives from foster children to the children they are now is amazing. And so, yes, parenting is a skill that we need in the church again, because so few are parenting their kids. They're surviving them. We'll just survive. And then at 18, you're out of here. And then we can enjoy life again. Wow. That's not the way. The scriptures talk about them being a heritage, blessing. But because we're not able to parent them, they're not a blessing. We do survive them. And so we have a family that's able to do that. And that's their qualification, not just their faithfulness, but they can do it. They've done it. They can do it. Finance class. We're going to have this next year after the after the Christmas shopping is all done, so I guess go crazy now. But into the next year, when you're really going, why did we spend so much? We're going to have a finance class, and Pastor Mike is going to be teaching the finance class, and it's because his finances are in order. No method. Not going to take this guy's method or that guy's method and bring it in and just instruct. No, he has done it. He and his wife, his family, their life is in order when it comes to finances, and they're going to share godly principles with those of us, all of us, who need to understand how to manage this. It's not a class to train you to tithe. So don't feel like, oh, you go through those and they always tell you to tithe. Well, they do because it's a principle, but the goal is that you honor God in your spending, in your money, in your resources. So we have that class that'll be coming up this next year. We have a family in this church who they're serving right now in the children's ministry. Their daughters are wonderful. They have raised their children, and they are beautiful children that I wish they weren't as old as they are, because I'd like my son to marry one of the daughters, but they're not the right age. But because they're just such good kids, and this family has done a good job with raising their children. And so, of course, when we think about student ministries, that's what we look for. And I'm encouraged when I see those kind of things, those kinds of hearts that God is bringing to oversee ministries. The last thing we want to do is just try to get the cool people and the this people and the that people and the faithful and stick them in these positions. We need qualified, gifted, called individuals who can be the examples in the church as well as the instructors. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit, and that's what we look at when we look for leaders to do certain things, is the fruit. To Timothy, Paul wrote, "If a man can't manage his own household, he cannot manage the house of God." My pastor, Skip Heitzig, would say, "If you can see that a person's teaching begins to contradict portions of Scripture, or the fruit of their teaching causes followers to deny or defy godly principles, even shipwrecking the faith of some, then don't sit under that teacher, because you'll become that way too." So, be on guard against false teaching. Inspect the fruit. But there are also false followers. Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I follow the Lord. Yeah, I believe in Jesus," is necessarily following him. He says, "But it's the one who does the will of my Father. That one is following me." Like I said earlier, I think we're going to be surprised when we get to heaven at those who did not end up in heaven, and at those who may have ended up in heaven because of the grace of God. Some are very, very spiritual. They just sound so spiritual. So, I just want to be around that person. They're so mature, and they're not. They're just great. They're charismatic in their speech. They draw you in. Oh, they must be so godly. I have seen and I know some, in a personal way, some, well, I don't want to go into family, but I know some who are very spiritual. And their lives are not in order. But we have to look for the fruit. You can't just listen to the words. Jesus says to this group in particular, "I never knew you." This was a group who never had a relationship with him. You know, the important thing about being a Christian is your relationship with Christ, which involves a submission to his authority. It's not about an expansive Bible knowledge or an expansive of Christian activity. You can be really busy doing godly kind of things, Christian things, good things, and not be saved, because it is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying here. "I never knew you. We never talked. We never hung out. You certainly didn't submit to my authority." Following him. There are going to be many who are around right now who talk the talk better than they walk the walk, or who talk the talk and do not even walk the walk. James said, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." You can deceive yourself. How do you do that? Well, by patting yourself on the back for listening. "I listened to that study. Oh, I've heard that study before. Oh, that was well put. I like the way he said that. Oh, I even took notes on that. Wow, that was so great." Patting yourself on the back. "Oh, yeah, I heard that from this other teacher." Listening. Constantly listening, never doing. Paul said there are some who are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They listen, they listen, they listen. The problem with listening is you get calloused over time unless you practice it, unless you do it. You can't necessarily look up to everyone who calls themselves a Christian, who carries and quotes a Bible, or who talks spiritually. Look for the fruit. So Jesus contrasts now the hearer and the doer, and one thing separates them. Check this out. Trials. Verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came down, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Notice he's speaking about two groups who hear the word. This isn't one group heard the word and one group didn't get to hear the word. Both of these hear the word. And the separation, the difference is one did something with it and the other did not do something with it. They both look similar. The only difference, the structures look the same, but one has a different foundation than the other. And the foundation, after all, is it all that important? Well, not really, unless it rains. Until the ground shifts or something happens, then you realize a foundation is important. You can see the difference. And so it is with the lives of human beings. It's easy to look good. It's easy to sound spiritual and look spiritual when things are tolerable, when they're okay, when you're in a good situation. When all is well, everyone can look good. When there's money in the savings, we can praise God. We can pray for the poor and the lost. When there's food in the pantry, it's easy to take a little of it and give to somebody when I got an abundance. When you're healthy, it's easy to thank God for that health. But what happens when those things aren't there? Well, the storms can expose the foundation of your faith. As the foundation goes, so goes the house. If money is your foundation and your trust is in the comfort of knowing you have money, got to keep working, got to keep doing this. We don't want to downsize. We don't want to change anything. We got to keep our savings stockpiled just in case. If money's your foundation, then if it were removed, you would fall apart. Your faith, your shallow faith would be revealed. If stuff is your foundation, then if it were taken away from you, all your stuff, you would fall apart. You'd have nothing to live for. If position or title were important to you, then those things, if they were stripped from you, you would feel hopeless. You would feel in despair. You would find that your foundation was not Jesus Christ. Some have their family as their foundation. Their family is the most important thing to them. I heard about a man who loved his family as we should. And his family was very important to him. However, an accident happened and he lost his family. He was the only one to survive. And as a result of that accident, he felt he had nothing left to live for and made an attempt at suicide on his life and ended up coming to Christ later. But he had pretended to be a Christian, said he was a Christian, that Christ was his rock. But when his family was removed, he realized he thought he had nothing to live for. It was gone. But when Jesus is your rock, then everything can be taken from you. And you still have reason to live. You have purpose because God has established it so you're alive. And you live and you breathe for His glory. Is there anything that if it were removed would cause your life to crumble? Anything. Anything. Because it should not be mixed into the foundation of your life, which is Jesus Christ. If you want to see what a person is really made of, then watch them in the storms. Some go from spiritual giants to complainers. Complain, 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 complain. Things aren't right. Things are, no. Hey, isn't Jesus your foundation? No. And we can turn into complainers so fast when we don't have things. Trials expose the foundation. Hopelessness comes. Hopeless comes into the life of somebody whose foundation isn't Jesus Christ. You could lose your family. It doesn't even have to be by an accident. It could be that they just leave you. You're abandoned now. And if you have Christ, yes, you're not happy, but you have a foundation that keeps you from going beyond a certain depth of lowness because you have a foundation. All the walls can come down, but the foundation is never gone. And God begins to build back up. I give you Job as an example. Everything was taken from Job. He had so much, and yet it was all taken, including his family. His own wife said, "Curse God and die." There's nothing worth living for anymore. And he said, "Though he slay me, and I will trust in Him. And that was his foundation. And he built his life again. And God built his life and blessed his life as a result. But so many go down and they go down and they grumble and it gets worse. And we find out what their foundation is. And there's no building back up on something that's not Jesus Christ. Peter said that trials prove the genuineness of our faith. And so Jesus says, be a doer, not just a hearer of his word. In verse 28, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. See, the scribes taught knowledge passed down. Here's what this rabbi says, and here's what the book says, the good book says, and passed down this knowledge. It's good knowledge. But the scribes couldn't teach them how to live life. But Jesus came and he taught them how to live life, kingdom living. He brought the kingdom. He brought the truth. He said, here's how you live your life. I am teaching you. This word of mine isn't just to be memorized. It's to be built upon. It's to be lived. It's to be adjusted to. This is the word of life. In fact, you worry about judgment. My word, that will be what judges in the end. Build your life on that. And they said, wow, this man teaches with authority. Not like the scribes. How do you build your life on a solid foundation? Well, you hear the word. You receive the word. And you begin to build your life on it. That is, you make your decisions by it. You create your priorities according to it. You trust its principles and you apply them to your life. You say, hey, Lord, you're right. Your word is right. I am wrong. And you adjust. That's how you do it. In other words, you believe God. Isn't that what it all comes down to? Believe God. The Bible is the most dangerous book ever written because it demands action and makes accountable. The person who would listen to biblical truth with no intention of applying it is a person who is in a very dangerous place because he has that or she has that which judges them. The danger is this, in getting to a point where you hear the truth and it has no effect on your life. You can hear it and it rolls off like water rolls off the back of a duck. You hear it and it makes no impact. We never want to get ourselves in that place. We always want to have a heart that is willing to receive from the Word of God. Paul spoke about those whose consciences had been seared as with a hot iron. So Jesus says, don't deceive yourself and be a listener or hearer only, but be a doer. Let me ask you, is God knocking on the door of your heart? Is he saying that there are certain things that don't line up with his word? Is he trying to be Lord in an area of your life and you're not listening? You've heard, but the voice, what happens is the voice gets more quiet, more quiet, more quiet. It's not that he's getting quieter. What's happening is your heart builds a callus around it so that it doesn't feel, you know, when I used to play the guitar, it was always more comfortable after I started to develop calluses on my finger because then I didn't feel the strings digging into my finger. So it was a good thing for that. But when it comes to the Word of God, to sit and just listen and not be transformed, not be changed, not go away with something to apply is a very dangerous place. But the good news is today, if God is knocking, you can be more than a hearer. You can do. You can trust Him. You can lay everything at His feet and follow Him.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.